Thanks, John and worship team for leading us this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's not just a song, but it is a reality. Modeled by the relationship and the friendship that Jesus had with his disciples who walked with him here on earth. And one of the things that was significant about the friendship that Jesus had with his disciples, and that went the other way as well, was the conversations, the sharing of life, the sharing of needs, the sharing of bread and food. And one of the significant things that the disciples had to notice was how their friend Jesus prayed differently. The Jews were taught to pray, and the disciples certainly were praying men. But they noticed something in the life of their friend Jesus. So Luke records for us in Luke chapter 11, 1, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he was finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." I think the implication is, Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. Teach us to pray with the vitality and the relationship, the connection that you have with God. And so he taught them. Matthew records one of these lessons of prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, where Jesus said, "Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people." Jesus said, "I assure you, they've got their reward." Verse 6 in Matthew 6, "But when you pray, go into your private room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," and he did. Essentially communicating that their prayer is simply talking with God, either individually or corporately, personally or publicly. Prayer is simply talking to and with God about anything, anywhere, anytime. And it's to be done with the right motive, the right heart, the right attitude. Matthew chapter 6 falls right in the middle of the famous Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is addressing issues not just of outward religion, not just of outward experience, not things that are to be seen, but inwardly, the righteousness of the heart that is there because of a right relationship with God, not only publicly, but more importantly, personally, privately. Where religion tends to be about the external obedience to rules and trying to impress, a relationship with God, Jesus says, is how we evaluate ourselves before God and with God for things that he knows already. It's about our relationship. And so this teaching, this lesson on prayer is within the context of not just the outward signs and religion and rules, but really about a relationship with God, of being right with him internally, personally, privately. That's what matters. It also has a more immediate context expressed in the very first verse of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." You see, in Jesus' days, there were people, just like there are in ours, where prayer was more about performance, where prayer, for many instances, was nothing more than simply performance. There were certain custom times for prayer, certain ways that you were to pray according to tradition. And Jesus is addressing these people who made it a point to make sure that when it came time to pray, they were in the right spot. They were underneath the spotlight so that people would not only see them praying, but hear them praying. They got a lot of attention because of their prayers. And the implication is they loved it and enjoyed it, got public praise for it. So they stood out on the street corners and prayed a prayer that would impress and impact and influence others. We might call them prayer celebrities. They were famous for their prayers. And yet Jesus said, don't be like them. These people may be claiming to talk to God, but in reality, they're just talking to people around them. And so Jesus says they'll get exactly what they're looking for, the applause of men, and miss the greater goal of prayer, of the applause of heaven and a relationship with God who lives there. Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. They have their reward. So how do we pray? How should we pray? Jesus kind of points out some pretty clear things. Three ways that we are not to be like hypocrites, not to be like those idolaters, but to have a right relationship with God in our prayer life. A life that is rewarding, that is fulfilling, that is based not upon public applause, but upon a private relationship, a personal relationship with God. First of all, Jesus says in verses 5-6 that we're to talk with God personally, not impressively. We're to talk to him personally. Whenever you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites in the way that they pray, where they pray, how they pray. He says, but when you pray, go to your private room, shut your door, and pray to our Father who is in secret. Just simply talk to God personally. Not trying to impress him, and certainly not trying to impress others. Jesus assumed that his disciples would pray, saying, when you pray. And of course, he wasn't criticizing public prayer. We've done that already this morning as Jeff led us in prayer. In just a few moments at the end of our service, Warren Mull is going to come and lead us as we pray for new leaders in our church. That public and corporate prayer is important and is vital to the life of our corporate ministry as the body of Christ. But prayer is something that you say to God, even if it's out loud, even if other people hear it. And so it's not praying privately versus praying publicly. It's all about the attitude. It's the heart. So that when I pray, or Jeff prays, or Warren prays, or whoever prays, that it's not to impress, it's not to influence, it's simply a personal conversation that others get to hear. You know, we can't ignore the fact that when we hear other people pray for us, or pray for the ministries, or pray for our outreach, or pray for our missionaries, it's encouraging, isn't it? It's encouraging to hear people pray for you and others and those things that are there. So it's not public versus private. It's about the internal attitude and the heart and the motive. Prayer is simply talking with God, whether it's personal or public, about anything. Wherever you are, whether you're in church or in the mall or in your office or in the hallway or in a classroom, whether it's early in the morning or late at night, it's relating to God personally. Jesus himself, we see from Scripture, sometimes prayed out loud, even when his disciples were present. He prayed for them while they were present. We see Paul in his letters to the churches, how he prayed for them publicly and personally. His words and an admonition to Timothy, as he led the church, was that Timothy would pray in every place, lifting up holy hands. So I think it's really important to be precise in what Jesus is saying and how we are to pray. Jesus is not saying that there's something wrong if other people hear you pray. He's not even saying that it's wrong if other people are impacted or impressed with your prayer. What he is saying is that it's wrong for us to pray with the intent to impress other people or manipulate other people or control other people or gossip about other people. It's about the heart. It's about the motive. Why did you do it? Did you pray for people or did you pray for God, for that relationship? When you say that you're praying for someone, are you actually praying for them? Or is it just to impress them and try to impact your relationship? It's not that you say that you're praying, but when we say it, we better be doing it. Because God knows, we're not fooling him. And if we say to someone else, hey, I'm praying for you, and we're not, we've gotten our reward right there and missed out on the greater relationship we have with talking to God, talking with God about our friends, about our family, about our ministries, about what God is doing. Jesus tells us to pray privately, to pray secretly, because when we do that, when no one else is around, it's then when our motives are pure. And so the way that we pray when nobody else is around is the same way that we should pray and talk when there are other people around. That's the significance. That's the reward of prayer. Where Jesus says, I assure you, they've gotten their reward when they pray to impress. But when you pray privately, personally, when you pray to your Father who is in secret and your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. What's that reward? It's a relationship with God. It's a closeness. It's a vitality. It's knowing he hears us and taking time to hear from him as well as we read his word and are surrendering to his spirit. As we're saying to him, God, this is what I'm thinking, but ultimately it's what you want. For me, for my family, for my friends, for my school, for my church, for my community, for my work, for my country. It's talking to God because he is God and invites us into his very throne room of heaven. So we can say, what a friend we have in Jesus who makes it possible for us to come to God in prayer. You know, there's a temptation for our prayer to be just a kind of performance, saying the right thing, saying it the right way, smoothly, articulately, loudly, pausing at just the right moments. It's interesting to me sometimes when I hear people pray in King James English, that maybe praying with these and thous is a more holy way to pray when that's not how they normally talk. Maybe that's great for them, but it just reminds me of, I need to make sure I'm just talking to God as I talk to my wife, as I talk to my kids. But the difference being, he's the almighty creator of the universe who is holy and good. And so there is an aspect of fear, of reverence, but also closeness. Because even though he is God and I am not, he bridged that gap by my friend Jesus, who died in my place so that I can be in constant fellowship with him. God already knows our needs and our thoughts, and we know how much he loves us, and so our prayer is simply to talk to him. And especially when we have the opportunity to pray, whether it's with our family or with friends or in a Life Connection class or a small group or in church, We don't worry about who might be listening, because really it's none of their business. It's my business. If I'm leading you in prayer, to not try to impress you, but to simply talk to God. And if you're one of those who think or act like working on the prayers of others is your business, cut it out. Stop it. You're not the prayer police, and neither am I. It's personal. And our relationship with our Heavenly Father, who invites us because of His Son Jesus, to tell Him our hurts, our sorrows, to seek forgiveness, to talk to Him. Because if we're praying with the right attitude in prayer, Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. If you're really seeking God, then you'll find Him. We're assured that He's going to hear us. And that's the reward of our personal prayer to God. Jesus also tells us to simply talk with God sincerely and not superstitiously or trying to have a magic formula, trying to manipulate Him, but simply talk with Him sincerely. The comparison in verse 7 is that Gentile prayer or prayer like the idolaters is about the manipulation of spiritual forces or entities to try and control them so that they are forced to do what the prayer wants them to do. Jesus says, forget all that. Be genuine. Be sincere. Be open. Many of the ancient religions at the time of Jesus' day had the idea that someone could persuade the gods to act if they lived or sacrificed. They kind of backed the gods into a corner where they had to act. But it's not just an ancient problem. I kind of see it and hear it today. You know, someone saying so many Hail Marys so that when they cast their line into the water that they'll automatically catch fish. Or if they say so many Our Fathers that God has to interact and intervene, maybe to protect us. Rather than being sincere, our prayer can at times become rote and meaningless, maybe even kind of superstitious. Just a bunch of magic words that we say to try to get God's attention or to have our desires fulfilled. But prayer isn't superstitious or a good luck thing to do, a magic formula. It's not even wishful thinking. Prayer is simply relating to God sincerely from the heart. And it's not just the words that we have, but it's sincerely in how we pray. Not doing it to get attention, not to be seen, but there's a lot of freedom and variety of just being yourself in how you pray. What that posture might be. Whether you're kneeling or bowing, whether you close your eyes, whether you clasp your hands or you raise your hands, whatever it might be, There's nothing wrong with kneeling or standing or lifting your hands or folding your hands or closing your eyes or praying with your eyes open. Just depending upon the situation, do what's sincere and genuine. Another aspect of that sincerity is how we pray. Does it matter when or where? Does prayer work more when we pray in church rather than when we pray at home or in our car or in our cubicle or at our desk? Do we manipulate God or control Him more when more people are praying? Does God listen to more prayers better than my prayers or simply yours? I think there's something there that is somewhat like the idolaters of thinking if we live or act or even pray in a certain way, then we can force God's hand. God is a force to be reckoned with, but not out of fear or manipulation or control or superstition, but simply to relate to him because he loves us. He knows what we need. And he wants us to become more and more like his son, Jesus Christ, as we pray and as we live. Because real prayer is not about our posture or location or frequency or number of people are praying or eloquence or the words that we use. Jesus is saying, prayer, my disciples, my followers, my friends, is about the heart. It's about the motive. Prayer is supposed to be intentional, thoughtful, using meaningful words that are our words, and then directing them through the action toward God as we simply talk with him anywhere, about anything, anytime. In verse 8, I see a third thing that Jesus is saying to us, that we are to talk with God confidently, not skeptically. We talk to him confidently because Jesus says to us, don't be like them, because your Father knows the things that you need even before you ask them. This one's a difficult one. If God already knows what we need, why does he want us to ask him about it? If God knows even better than I know what I need or what you need, why bother praying? Well, as we talked about last week, I think first and foremost, because Jesus prayed. The example that he had of simply relating to his heavenly Father in the things that were going on in his life. And in the same way, Jesus tells us that whenever you pray, wherever you pray, pray. Because God the Father knows the things you ask before you even ask them. Before you even talk to him about it. Maybe the closest we can come to with that is thinking how our children relate to us. We know that they need food, right? Good parents know that our kids need food. And most of the time when they ask for it, we give it to them. Maybe not when they want it, or how they want it, or even what they want. Because we know better than a 3-year-old what they need. We know better than an 8-year-old what they need. Sometimes we even know better than a 16-year-old. But I digress. We have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need and simply wants us to relate to him, to talk to him, sincerely, personally, to interact with him, to share our concerns, to get help, to share our experiences, for us to ask forgiveness and to experience forgiveness and grace, to express love, to express gratitude and thankfulness. All those things because God is loving and God is good. And at a high price, the price of his son, Jesus, he gave us Jesus, so that we could talk to him and have access to him through prayer. Hebrews 11:6 tells us by praying confidently, we demonstrate that we believe that he exists and we believe that God rewards those who seek him. In 1 John chapter 5, John says, now this is the confidence that we have before him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him for. God wants us to pray because he wants us to have a relationship with him. God wants us to pray as an act of worship to him, demonstrating our faith, praying with confidence rather than doubting. Praying that we believe that God is good and that he knows what's best for us. And so not praying cynically or skeptically. He wants us to talk with him. And that's exactly what prayer is. this past week. Talked with our Awana Sparks about this very thing. And what's amazing about children is they understand prayer. They get it. As soon as they learn to talk, and as we teach them to pray, they understand talking to an unseen God who sees us in all of life, especially when we pray. Simply talking to Him about anything, anywhere, at any time, with the right attitude. Simply coming to Jesus. The one who prays, Jesus says, talks to God personally, sincerely, and confidently, believing that God is good, that He hears our prayers, and that He's going to answer them for His glory and for our ultimate good. So we're going to talk about prayer some more next week as we get into the Lord's Prayer. But until then, I want to encourage you this week to pray. Personally, pray sincerely, confidently. And right now, I'm going to pray, but not for you. I'm going to pray for us as I say the words, and you're welcome to listen and pray along with me. Father, we thank You for the great access that we have to You. We thank You for the promises and the assurance, the very truth that You hear us when we pray. We thank You that it's possible that the gap, the broken relationship, was restored and reconciled by Your Son Jesus. All that means is beyond my comprehension, because I really don't know how sinful and selfish I am. And yet, Father, You know. And that's why Jesus had to come, and why He came obediently, sacrificially. So, Father, we rejoice that as we pray publicly and personally, not only on Sundays, but throughout the week, as we pray for one another and our needs for health and for finances, for relationships, Lord, for all that we do to cry out to You for all of our great needs, we thank You that we can take it to You in prayer, and that You hear us and guide us. Father, we thank You that we can pray for one another, and that as we pray for the needs of our hearts, that You hear us not only for our cries individually and for our families, but for Your work that You're doing in us and through us as a church. Father, we also recognize that there are many great needs in our world. At times we're overwhelmed by the heartache and the chaos, and the confusion, and even just the anger that we see in this world around us. And so, Lord, we want to be faithful in being those who lift up holy hands in prayer, praying at all times for those who are in leadership over us, and, Lord, even those that we lead and serve, from children and our students here. Lord, I pray that as we come to You continually, Lord, that we would likewise hear from You. So speak to us through Your word, speak to us through Your people, speak to us by Your Spirit, that Your ultimate purpose for us here would be accomplished, and that we become more and more like Your Son Jesus. And that as we become like Him, that we'd be found faithful in seeking and saving the lost, those who don't know You, those who are still Gentiles or idolaters, those who don't have a relationship with You. Lord, lead us and guide us to that end. For Your glory and for our relationship with You. Thank You, Father. In Christ's name, amen.